Rav Gedalia was a big entrance way for me into the world of Chassidus. Rav Gedalia Shur, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, passed away in 1979. And his Ma'amarim, they're all built on Chassidus, but it's written in a language that's a little more accessible. So it's really it's a good place to start if a person's trying to get more comfortable learning the classics of Chassidus. Okay, but let's learn this piece together. Hasiba l'ra nishapich l'pesach ha'geula. Right, the source of evil was transformed into an opening for redemption. And what he's going to describe to us, and it's really the whole Megillah, it's really the essence of Purim, right? And it's part of that humility of Ad Lo Yada, of admitting we don't really know how things work, is that very often in life, and again, I know we've spoken about this a lot, but we'll speak about it again, until we believe it with all our heart, a lot of our life is thinking that we know how things are going or how things should be, or how things ought to be. And then we find out that Hashem has a different plan, and sometimes we're very angered and frustrated by that plan. I was talking to someone just the other day, and he was telling me about a particular situation that he had with a particular relationship that he was in, and how he felt that Hashem was sending him very, very confusing and mixed messages. And the truth is, at the end of the day, the thing that he thought was so confusing, and he said he was more angry at Hashem than he's ever been, actually became the Pesach to ending that relationship and beginning a new relationship. And Amir Hashem, he's going to be marrying the woman who he's currently dating. And it's like such an irony, because at the time he was so angry, he was so frustrated, and he was so disappointed with Hashem. And now he looks back and he laughs at the whole thing. That's really what Purim is. Purim is that celebration of the Vina Hafuchu. Right? We said many times that Vina Hafuch is Gematria 167, because there's 167 in the Megillah, 167 Psukim in the Megillah, and the whole thing is inside out and upside down. And we think we know. We think we know what's good and we think we know what's bad, but the truth is, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets the last laugh, because we don't really know. And we're sometimes so quick to think that we know. Okay, so let's see. Let's find out, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually teaches us this lesson through the Megillah. Kishenizbonin b'maisa ha-Megillah. When we study, when we contemplate the story of the Megillah, nira eich shekol osan hadvarim shayusibo lahara, it becomes evident to us that all the things that we thought were bad, al yedei tshuva shel b'nei Yisrael nefchu lahasibo lahageula. When the Jewish people did tshuva, all of those things, which were so damaging, were so threatening, became a source of redemption, became a source of joy. Right? The fear became transformed into joy. Ki kol yisod hagolus nigram al yedei shenanu misudas achashverosh, because everything that was happening to them, in a sense, was rooted in the fact that they had kind of given up on redemption and were willing to go to forbring at the suda of achashverosh. And it was through that Suda, and it's such an amazing thing to think about, the Chassam Sofer speaks a lot about this, that Dafka, at the place where we were rock bottom, celebrating Chorban Beis HaMikdash, celebrating the fact that God had abandoned us in Galus, Dafka at the party, not after the party, not the next morning, at the party itself, everything happened with Vashti and Haman and Esther, and all the wheels started spinning. Because what was the essence? What was the yesod? What was the foundation of that chet? What was the underlying reality of that chet? That they were nenu misudas achashverosh. Hayeshedovku as atzmam l'seder shal siba u'mesovev. They were looking at things in a realistic way. Siba and Mesovev means cause and effect. Right? The Siba, right? Like the Yishai Ribo song, Sibata Sibot, yeah, for those who are holding, right? The cause of all causes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the cause of all causes. But when we start to look at things as Siba u'Mesovev, cause and effect, so we think that A leads to B and B leads to C, right? And 1 plus 1 is 2, and it is, B'derach HaTeva. But if Hashem decides that 1 plus 1 is 3, Hashem can make that possible. Now, our brain can't necessarily grasp how that could be, or how a Kadosh Baruch Hu could decide that a circle is a triangle, right, or a square is a circle, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by the rules of nature the way that we often imagine it to be. So the Jewish people, they looked at things a certain way, and they thought, listen, you know, given the political climate, given the realities of what's happening in the world, it makes sense for us to what? To kind of submit ourselves to what's happening. Not to fight it, not to always push against it, not to try to think differently, but to kind of just surrender to it. And therefore, hisnagdu lahaseder shalu Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachav. Like it says in the third parak of the Megillah, Mordechai refused to bow down. The Jewish people were very against that. They thought Mordechai was the impediment. Mordechai is getting in the way. Just let things be the way they're supposed to be. The same way that Klal Yisrael got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu when he first came to redeem them in Mitzrayim. They said, stop, you're making things worse. Stay out of the way. Stop causing trouble. Ki chashu ki kol atzar zbam al yedei ihachna aso lahamalchus. Because they thought that all of the trouble came from a lack of submission. Hachna means submission, humility, bittul, surrender. They thought that all the problems are because Mordechai is not surrendering enough. We have to give in. We have to adapt to the society around us. Va'adraba. Ayyidei sheyelchu v'yaskarvu l'malchus. Adab, just the opposite. If we get more involved in their world, v'yishtadu etza ha'malchus, if we play by their rules, apiderach ha'teva, if we adopt a derach ha'teva type of approach to life, then yigrom lehem tova, then everything's going to be fine. Stop fighting the system. Stop trying to be so different. Why do the Jews always have to be so different? And they were angry at Mordechai. Mordechai, you're causing trouble. Just play along. Go with it. But the truth of the matter is, when we become, and it's the first piece of Torah in Likutei Moran, when we're not proud of who we are, when we reject our essence in a sense, so that brings all the trouble in the world. And when we stand up for what we believe, even though it's not always comfortable to do that, but when we stand proudly by the things that we believe, so then that brings the Yeshua. Then the world respects us. When we compromise, however, this is so fundamental for life. When you get that first job and you're having that first conversation with your new, you know, with your new boss about having to leave early on Friday in the winter to get back for Shabbos, right? It's going to be a defining moment in your life. It's going to be a decision of how you choose to present yourself and what matters to you, right? And having the courage to stand by your values and believing that that makes you a better employee, not a worse employee, and showing that you're a person of principles and respecting that, you yourself respecting that, will cause others to respect that. But if your employer sees that you're not serious about your Judaism and then you decide you're taking off for this holiday or that holiday, right? So then it's gonna only make more questions and more trouble for you. So a person has to be confident, has to be clear on what we believe, and to know that Hashem runs the world, and to know that I never get ahead by compromising my values. But Klal Yisrael was annoyed at Mordechai. They thought Mordechai is causing trouble. Mordechai, go with the flow. Stop fighting it. Submit yourself to the derech hateva, to the nature of things, the way things, again, have to be or ought to be, the derech hateva. The Stuchina Rebbe pointed out a beautiful remez. I don't know if I mentioned it to you guys the other week. Ahasuerus's kingdom was from Hodu to Kush. Right? From Hodu to Kush. So Ramatul Zilber, the holy Stuchina Rebbe, said that the gematria of Kush is 326. The gematria of Hodu is 21. The difference between them, right, from Hodu to Kush, is 305. 305. So Ramatul Zilber pointed out, I'm just checking the numbers now, just to go over it for myself, that the gematria of Derech Teva, Derech is 224, Teva is 81, together it's 305. So to speak, the kingdom of Ahasuerus from Hodu to Kush, right, those are sort of the bookends of his kingdom, from Hodu all the way to Kush, the difference between them, that space between, is 305 in Gematria. Gematria Derech Teva, the natural way, the natural order. But a Jew doesn't live within a natural world. We're Lamalam in a Teva. We transcend this world. So Mordechai is trying to, you know, to fight a very big machine. He's fighting against a system. And Klal Yisrael is saying, Mordechai, stop fighting it. Just submit yourself to Ahasuerus, to Haman. And Mordechai says, no, that's not going to bring us success. And it looks from Mordechai's stubbornness that he's actually the one who's causing Klal Yisrael to be threatened. Haman decides, not only am I going to deal with Mordechai, I'm going to deal with the entire Jewish people. So Mordechai himself seems to have caused this this entire genocide, this Holocaust. And the truth of the matter was, the Jewish people were very, very upset with Mordechai. Until Vina Hafachu, the whole thing got flipped around, and of course, right, that source of fear became the greatest source of joy. So again, when we submit ourselves to the natural order of things, when we surrender to a world that is not run by Hashem, so then we bring upon ourselves all of the troubles of Amalek, Uva Aleim Tzaras Haman, and all of the evil of Haman. Aval Kasher Osu B'nei Yisrael Tshuva. But when the Jewish people return to Hashem, and Esther says, come on, let's get it together. Leich Chanos Kol Yehudim, we get it together. And we fast, and we daven, and we do tshuva. Ve'hevinu shechotu v'ma shaholchu l'sudas Achashverosh. And they realized that going to Sudas Achashverosh was not for them. Ve'echniu atam l'mordechai etzadik, going back to, you know, to the question of to what degree does one have to submit himself to tzadikim, right? When they had the humility to say, you know what, we don't really understand Mordechai, but he's a tzaddik and he's probably right. Then everything got flipped around. And that very Suda itself, that very Suda, which was the source of evil, of negativity in their life, at that same very party, right, the seeds of Yeshua, of redemption, were being planted. That Haman himself would be the one to remove what? Haman, who hates the Jews more than anyone, is the one who removes Vashti and puts Esther into power, essentially, and brings about the salvation. So what do we learn? Chavra, very simple. This is not, you know, it's a very simple idea to understand and very hard to practice in our life. And that's why we keep talking about it so much. Nimtza kasher yivinu b'nei Yisrael, and b'nei Yisrael understood, v'heikiru, and they recognized, shebeglal ma'aseim ha'ra'im hura lehem, v'dovku atzmam el pnimiyas hanhaga. When they realize that our superficial approach is just causing problems. And if we attach ourselves to the inner workings of reality where Hashem runs the world, where there's not just a natural cause and effect, but there's a borei olam, az hasiba lahara nishapich l'siba l'geula. That cause of evil became, that source of suffering became a source of redemption. Hu kamosha kasav, a beautiful pasuk, the Navi Yirmiyah tells us, eis tzara hi liyakov. Esar, there's going to be a time of tsar, of suffering, of difficulty for Yaakov, for the Jewish people. Umimena yivashaya. Now these two words are remarkable. Umimena yivashaya means what? It'll be a time of suffering for the family of Yaakov, for the Jewish people. Umimena, and from it, they will be saved. But however, there's two ways to learn from it. Right? From it means that eventually it will end and they'll be replaced with salvation. Or you can learn mimena as from it. That from it, from the source of suffering, shameha tzara gufa baha Yeshua. That from it itself, vina hafachu, the thing itself gets turned around. And from it itself comes the salvation. The Sfas Emes writes, in his writings on Purim, he quotes it here, ki mimena is osios mehaman. So eis tzara, Haman's called an ish tzar va'oyev. Eis tzara hi liyakov. Was there ever a greater tzara for the Jewish people than Haman's plot against the Jews? So eis tzara hi liyakov. There was a horrific genocidal plot against Bnei Yisrael. Umimena, ume Haman himself, yivashaya. The salvation comes from within. Sheme Haman gufa ba Yeshua. That Haman himself is the one who starts, you know, spinning the wheel, so to speak, to bring about redemption. Shal yidei atzasa laharoges Vashti olsa Esther lamalchus. That it was Haman's suggestion to get rid of Vashti, which allowed Esther to come to the kingdom, to become the queen. From the trouble itself came the redemption, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Ezra bitzaros nimtza. That the Ezra, that the salvation, that the helping, is bitzaros nimtza, is found within the tzara itself. And that's a very deep perspective. It's not just that from afterwards, right, mimena, and from it, eventually, we shall emerge, we shall be saved. No, from it, from within it, mamish, from within it itself, we come to Yeshua. And that's such an important thing in life. When we get frustrated with Hashem, we don't understand the cause and effect, right? Because we're looking at things in a natural way. We're looking at through a natural order, an expectation that things are supposed to operate in a linear fashion. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, v'na hafuchu. The whole thing's backwards. You're reading the whole thing backwards. I'll tell you something interesting. We mentioned it maybe last year or the year before. but I'll mention it. How do we read Hebrew? How do we read Hebrew? We read from right to left. How do we write Hebrew? Think about it for half a second. Think about it. Think about how we write a letter. Hachasan, Reb Eli, think about it. Think about how you write, if you were writing, right, in Hebrew script, if you're writing the letter Beis, so you start on the left-hand side. If you were writing the letter Aleph, you start on the left-hand side. If you're writing the letter Dalet, you start on the left-hand side. When you write it, you actually write it left to right, but when you read it right to left. Why is that so? I'll tell you a gevaldik vart. It's so simple and it's so true. What does the left side represent? The left side represents Midas HaDin. What does the right side represent? Midas HaChesed. When you look at each letter by itself, each letter starts what? From the left. In other words, when I just have, you know, these puzzle pieces before the picture comes together, sometimes everything looks like it's Midas HaDin. Nothing makes sense. Everything in this world is filled with, you know, struggle. But once you start to put the letters together, and you start to read the whole sugya, you understand the big parsha. So then, of course, we read from right to left. Right? We understand that, really everything is from the right-hand side. Everything's emanating from a place of chesed. When I look at the letter by itself, I don't understand. It looks like, wow, how is this happening? Why is this happening? But once I start to string it together, I start to see the whole thing is coming from the right side. It's coming from a place of chesed. What a beautiful and simple insight. So when we don't understand the situation, we have to zoom out a little bit. We have to take a step back. We have to ask ourselves, again, am I doing my part to be loyal to Hashem? And if I do, then I'm confident that the thing that looks broken itself will be the source of joy. Anu yodim ki be'emes kol zman hayamuchan oso hadavar lesiba letov. When we get to the end of the story, we realize that the goodness was there all along. Elishadavar tali b'vnei Yisrael. But until we woke up, until Mordechai Tzadik woke us up to that truth, b'nei Yisrael weren't able to bring that goodness upon themselves. Because if we submit ourselves, if we attach ourselves to a natural order, so then guess what? Then that's what's going to happen. So then things are going to play itself out naturally. And naturally, Haman was much more powerful than the Jewish people at this time. Achashverosh was more powerful than the Jewish people at this time. If I submit myself to a natural order, that's what I'm going to get. But if I understand the inner working, the inner world of how Hashem runs the world, that God runs the world, not Haman, not Achashverosh. Then I start to understand that what? I understand the inner way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. Asher kol masha hayanira siba lara, that again, that anything we encounter in life that seems like what? Like a siba lara, like a cause of suffering and evil and disappointment. Hayabemis letovasam v'siba l'gu'ulasam. Hashem doesn't know how to do anything bad. It's only our failed perspective. V'nahafuch, we have to see it differently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world layer upon layer upon layer. But if you dig deep enough, if you could peel back enough layers, you'll come to that internal nekuda, that point of truth, which is kula tov, which is entirely good. In the Sefer Megillas Sedarim, by the author of the Nesivas HaMishpat, Rav Yaakov Milisa, lived in the late 1700s. So he writes, he explains, Bavar Shiva Megillah Roem Anu, Esa Indian Shal Zidonos Nasalokas Chuyos, Bitchuva Me'ava. However, the Gemara tells us in Mesechus Yoma, it's on Daf Pevav, that there's different types of tshuva. If you do tshuva out of fear, so your Aveira that you did on purpose gets lowered to what? You know, it's like you're driving on the highway, right? And you're speeding and you get pulled over. And you get a ticket, you get a speeding ticket. So then you show up in the court. And you like negotiate. They said, okay, you know, we'll lower it. Instead of giving you a speeding ticket with, you know, 4 points on your license, we'll charge you $250, and we'll give you a seatbelt violation, and you'll only get 2 points on your license. Right? Okay. The fact that you came and had a little year off of the court, so they're willing to, you know, to downgrade the offense. I mean, it's sheker v'chazav that like you were speeding, and now they turned it into a red light traffic violation or stop sign violation. That's not true. That's not what you actually did. But okay, whatever. That's the manipulation of the courts. But again, if you're willing to, you know, come to court, so they're willing to lower the offense. Right? So too, when a Jew does tshuva at a year, when you show up on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or any time a Jew does tshuva throughout the year, if you do it out of fear, so Hashem lowers the offense. What if you do tshuva out of love? So the Gemara says in Yom Adaf Pevav that your Zedonos, your Mezid, right? Your Mezid becomes what? Becomes a Zchus. It becomes a merit. It becomes a mitzvah. Your Aveira becomes a mitzvah when you do Tshuva Me'ava. Says the Megillas Starim that the whole lesson of Megillas Esther is that your really big Averos can actually become what? Not just erased from the book. I'm so embarrassed. I want to get my Averos, you know, stricken from the record. But in fact, I could take my Avera and turn it into what? Into a source of what? Into a source of joy. Something that I can celebrate. That's what the Megillah is. That's what Purim is. That with a proper orientation towards my Averos, I can make an Avera into a source of what? Into a source of merit. V'huka asher be'arnu, as we were explaining. Ki asiba l'ra nehafach l'siba l'tov. That which appeared ra can actually become tov. Ki zehu be'emes habir ha'amuk b'hada amrina denasas lokas chuyos. That's the deeper meaning. What does it mean? What is this Gemara? That my Avera can become a mitzvah? What does that mean? How does that work? What it means is that with the right perspective, a person comes to an understanding that the thing that I thought was a source of difficulty in my life was actually a source of growth in my life. It was something that was actually motivating if I understood it the right way, if I have the proper emuna. Shal yidei ha-tshuva neshapech ha-sibah l'ra, shu achet l'tov. And the reason that I can find the goodness in the Avera is because had I not done the Avera, then what? Then I never could have done the Tshuva. Now that's a delicate point. Let's be honest about that for a second. Right? The goal is not to do Avera so I can have the great opportunity to do Tshuva. And Tshuva means getting close to Hashem. So I need to do Avera so I can be close to God. But the reality is we all do Avera, so we all make mistakes. We all miss the mark. Chet means to miss the mark. We sometimes miss the mark. And therefore, we have the opportunity to what? To either double down on our Avera and to say, you know, I'm a bad Jew, so I might as well have a good time in this world and keep doing Averos. Or I could say, you know what? My Avera made me feel so lowly. My Avera made me feel so far from Hashem that it actually woke me up to how desperately I need to be close to Hashem. So the Chet itself, the recognition of the failure, actually led me to that tshuva. The same way that a person, lo aleinu, a person's an alcoholic, right? And they've been trying to conquer that addiction for a long time. Sometimes a person has to hit rock bottom before they're able to really rebuild themselves, right? Now that's a sad truth, but it's also a truth. And many people will tell you that, unfortunately, that's how it goes sometimes. A person can't be helped sometimes until they mamish hit rock bottom. So in a certain sense, the greater yerida actually became the source of salvation for them. It's an amazing thing. So this huge aveira of celebrating Hashem's abandonment of Klal Yisrael by celebrating Sudas Achashverosh, where Achashverosh is wearing Bigdei Kahuna and using the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and essentially saying that I'm the new king of the world, and we were part of that party, we were enjoying that party, was such a big aveira, and yet somehow it woke us up to the truth of, look what we've become, how did we hit rock bottom, and that again began, so to speak, the Tshuva movement that brought Bnei Yisrael back. So the sin itself, again, is given a place. I'm able to contextualize why I had to go through that stage in my life. Right? Why did I have to go through losing that job to set me up for the success of that next job? Why did I have to lose that relationship to get to that relationship? Why did I have to go through this loneliness or this sorrow in order to get to a deeper connection to whatever it is that I'm looking to connect to in a real way? As the Tanya writes in Parag Zion, Al tshuva me'ava kazu amru shezedonos nasala kizchuyos. The reason that tshuva me'ava, like the Gemara tells us, turns zadon, turns mezid, turns averos into merit, hova al yedei zeh bo la'aver habazu. Because it was dafka through the avera that it was an awakening of that love. Right? It was that recognition, perhaps, that even when I did the avera, Hashem still loves me. Again, also a delicate point if misused. But that's what happened in this week's parsha. What happened with Chet Ha'egel? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu count us right before Chet Egel? Hashem counts us after Chet Egel. Hashem says, because you count before and you still count after, you still matter. I'm not giving up on you, I'm not throwing you away. That the Chet Egel in the end led to the Mishkan in a certain sense, and the Mishkan in a certain sense is the overarching goal of creation. So what do we say? So Chet Egel was a lechatchila? Chet Egel was a good thing? I can't say such a thing. But it happened for a reason. And if I understand that Hashem runs the world, so I understand that sometimes even my failures, my setbacks, it's part of a bigger process, and I trust the process. That through the sin of celebrating Achashverosh's party, that led to the tshuva, that led to the geula. Kein b'chol adam, ha-tshuva ma-hapech ha-chet, ha-tshachet yeyeh siba la-geula ha-pratis shalom. The same thing that happened to Klal Yisrael on a national level happens to us as individuals. Sometimes the mistake that I made becomes the wake-up call to really change my life. Says the Sfas Emes in his writings on Purim, on the pasuk uvachein avo el ha-melech asher lo kedas. Of course, what is the pasuk describing? It's describing Esther going into Achashverosh without permission. She's doing something which is exceptionally dangerous. But the Sfas Emes explains shakavana shehaskarvus el ha-melech hu habor yisbarach yihiyeh al yedei ha-chit atzmo. Sometimes, chevra, and again, these are delicate ideas. You have to use them properly, not as an excuse to do averos. But sometimes, uvachein avo al ha-melech, I'm able to come to the king, to melech malchei ha-melechim, I return to Hashem, asher lo kedas, in a way that's not in accordance with the law. In other words, through the avera, which was against the halacha, I did something against halacha. I did an avera. It was lo kedas. I didn't follow the law. But dafka, through that, and responding to that mistake in the right way, with a heartfelt tshuva, and a return to Hashem, avo el melech. Sometimes I get closer to the king, shelo kedas. Why does the Gemara say that the place of a baal tshuva is greater than the place of a tzaddik? There's a way to connect to Hashem by way of our mistakes. And again, that doesn't mean we strive to make mistakes. But the reality is that we do make mistakes. And I have to know how to recover from that. I need to know how to bounce back from that. Let's go to the next column. Umi'irim hadvarim b'psichas, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. So the Gemara in Meseches Megillah and Daf Yud Amid Beis has all of these introductory drushos that the great rabbis would give when introducing the Megillah. So Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni gave the following introduction. He darshan this pasuk, Tachas hana'atzutz ya'ale b'rosh. In place of the na'atzutz, the thorn bush of some sort, ya'ale b'rosh. It'll be replaced by a different type of more beautiful tree. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. So he darshan, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni said, Tachas hana'atzutz, in place of the thorn tree, which is Haman, ya'ale b'rosh, Mordechai will sprout. Okay, what's he saying? The simple way to translate the word tachas means what? There's going to be a chilof, an exchange. That it used to be that Haman's in power, and then it's going to be exchanged, and Mordechai is going to take his place, so to speak, in the world of Achashverosh, in the court of the king. Kamosha Abram zo tachazo. This one replaces that one. Shebamakom hana'atzutzu Haman, in the place of the thorn, which was Haman, right? Ya'ale brosh, it's going to be replaced by Mordechai. Okay, beautiful. But says Rav Gedalia, sure, there's a deep way to learn tachas. You know what tachas also means? Tachas doesn't just mean in place of. Tachas means, if you look at it as if it's sprouting out, right? Underneath, literally under the cover of the na'atzutz was the brosh. In other words, it's not that Haman is here and Mordechai is here and Haman's in power and eventually Haman gets pushed aside and Mordechai takes his place. But mamish tachas, Haman is just a cover-up for Mordechai. And when that cover is peeled off, when we remove that chitzonius, and again, this is so much the Purim costumes on Purim, when I remove that outer layer, all of a sudden I see what was really there all along. My whole way of looking at it has changed. Right? Mishenechlas yayin yatsa sod. What does that mean? When a person drinks on Purim, the secrets come out. Well, where were the secrets? They were there the whole time. They just didn't know how to yatsa. They didn't know how to come out. So tachas hanatzutz, beneath Haman, buried beneath that threat of Haman, was actually v'nahafachu, this awesome celebration. And all we have to do is peel back that outer layer of our superficial understanding to understand the pnimius of Hashem's hanhaga. To not get caught up in the superficiality of how Hashem runs the world, b'derech ha-teva. That's Hodu and Kush. The world between Hodu and Kush is derech teva. But a Jew rises above that. A Jew is not bound by natural orders and cause and effect. Again, the way the natural world would understand cause and effect to be. Let's go one step further. So have a couple minutes. Let's finish up. We'll go one step further. Says the Ur Gedaliah in the next paragraph. What is the laughter of Purim? What is really the nature of laughter? If you never really thought about the depth of why we laugh, right, this will help us to understand it. It's a very deep thing why we laugh. Laughter is deeply connected to Purim, obviously. Laughter is connected to one of the Avos, whose name is Yitzchak. Interestingly enough, the Av who in our understanding of the Torah seems to be the most stern, the most serious, kind of the least inviting of the three Avos, if we could say such a thing carefully about Yitzchak Avinu. And yet somehow Yitzchak is the world of laughter. How does Yitzchak lead to laughter? What is the schok? What is the nature of schok in general? So the Or Gedaliah explains, Mashmitzinu sheyesh inyan shel schok b'parim. What is the inyan of laughter? What is the inyan of fooling around, of joking around, of having a good time? Right? Schok with a samach or tzichok with a tzadi, and the relationship between those words. V'chein matzinu b'chazal, we find in the Sefer Yetzira, one of the earliest works of Kabbalah, that every month has an action that's associated with it. And every month has a shevet that's associated with it. And every month has a name of Hashem that's associated with it. And every month has a letter that's associated with it. And the month of Adar is associated with the Os Kuf, with the letter Kuf, not for now, for another time. Right? And it's also associated with Schok. The action for the month of Adar is Schok. The action for the month of Nisan is what? Is talking. Sicha. That's why the mitzvah is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and tell the story at the Seder. Every month has an action that's associated with it. The month of Shvat that we just had is associated with eating, with L'ita. What is the action, what is the emotional manifestation of Adar? Laughter. Right? Levity, folly, having a good time, joking around. Okay? So what does that mean? What is its connection to the month of Adar? What is really the omek of laughter as an expression of simcha? Okay, let's pause for a second. Jonah Goldberg, what do you want to say?
Last night, Zusha actually said, when he was speaking, he said, Ha'or, I think he said, Ha'or ain't so, and laughter have the same gematria.
Let's see. Schok is 414. Is gematria or ain't so? Yeah, you're right. Cool. I didn't have that one. Very nice. Okay, so schok somehow, transcends, right? Well, let's just think about it for ourselves for a second before we read what Rav Gedaliah Shur Zatzal says. All right, why do we laugh? What makes something funny? What makes something funny? Avi, what makes something funny?
Irony.
Right, irony. V'nahafuchu, right? Meaning the teva of what you would have expected is one way, and all of a sudden something happens, that's what? Shaloka derecha teva, right? It's the opposite of what you would have expected. The whole situation is kind of flipped on its head, right? So you would have expected the person to say this, but because they said something which is ironic or sort of the opposite of that, right, it leads to a laughter. So it transcends kind of the natural way of things, right? There's something that goes beyond. That's why schok, interesting, is gematria or ein sof. Fascinating. Very interesting. It's something beyond, right? It's like Yitzchak Avinu, right, who's somewhat beyond this world. Yitzchak Avinu is very much connected to Mashiach. Yitzchak is the same letters as Keitz Chai, right? Very deep. Yitzchak is very much beyond. Just like Purim is the holiday, which also goes beyond time. Purim is the holiday that we said is going to last forever, even when Mashiach comes. So there's an irony that allows us to transcend the obvious and to laugh. So let's see. Mashma sheyesh bo eiz inyan shel schok. There's an inyan of schok as it connects obviously to these days. Habir bezehu ki ikar haschok matzino etzel geula hasida. Chaver, when are we going to get our ultimate laugh? As we say, oz yamale schok pino. Right? When will our mouths be filled with laughter? The Gemara actually says in Maseches Brachos that we're not supposed to laugh so much in Galus. Because Galus, if we laugh too much now, it shows that we're not in pain over the loss of Beis HaMikdash, of the loss of Hashem in our life, the clarity of Hashem in our life. But Oz Yemalei Sechok Pinu, then, in the future, Yemalei Sechok Pinu, then our mouths will be filled, Yemalei will be filled with real laughter. V'chein Ksiv Yoshev Bashamayim Yischak. Like it says in the beginning of Tehillim, it's in the second paragraph of Tehillim. Yoshev b'shamayim, the one who sits in the heavens, Yischak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knows how to get a good laugh. Beyond this world, it's very easy to laugh. You know why? Explains Rav Gedaliah Shur as we turn to the last page. He says, Kischok peirusho komo misachek, or mischak. It's like a person who's what? Who's watching a production. Shenira shakol ne'avadu levesof nishafech hakol letov. A person's watching a play, a movie, a film. V'hukamo spiel. You're watching a spiel. You're watching a performance. Right? You're watching this whole play. And it looks like you're watching it and you're sitting on the edge of your seat. And you don't know what's going to happen and your heart is racing. And there's intense music and the actors are putting on a really compelling performance. And you're really scared, right, for the good guy in the play who looks like he's going to die at the hands of the, you know, of the villain. right? And your heart is mamish racing. And all of a sudden, what happens? Vina hafachu, right? There's some turn of events. And of course, invariably, the good guys win at the end of the movie, at the end of the film, at the end of the performance. The inyan haschok lasid lavohu, and that's exactly what the laughter of Mashiach is. The laughter of the end of days is that what? That all those times the Jewish people felt like the world is out to get us. And what if we're not going to make it? We're such a small people, and the world is such a big world. Right? Every one of us, we're like Mordechai trying to fight against, again, that bigger system of Haman and Achashverosh. And sometimes our own fellow Jews are rooting against us as they were against Mordechai. But at the end of the what? At the end of the good performance, at the end of the play, right? Maybe you were crying out of fear for the, you know, because you were so swept up by the storyline. But by the end, you're standing on your feet and you're clapping for the actors, and right? And it was a marvelous performance. And everyone bursts out in joy. Ki oz yisbar leklal yisrael bebihiras, asher kol mashaya nira lanu ba'orach hagalus kasiba lara. We'll be able to understand, looking back, that all of the things that we thought were are suffering throughout Galus, all of the difficulties of Jewish history, Shahaya shalo litovaseinu, all those things that we didn't understand, all of a sudden, be'emes haya kol gorim la'geula. Every one of them was moving the pieces to move the geula a little bit closer. Like the Nabi Zechariah says, v'haya kasher lo zenachtim. There'll be a realization that what? That you were never abandoned. It might have looked like you were abandoned at times, but you were never abandoned. Not for a second did Hashem leave us. That's the schok, that's the laughter of the Geula Shlema. It's going to be such a v'nahafachu, we're going to get such a good geshmak laugh when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mashiach, and we see that everything we thought was so bad was actually really just a blessing in disguise. Let's go to the final paragraph for today. B'medrash Rabbah. Amazing Medrash. Learn one more very deep idea. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was natal sichasan shal avos va'asan mafteach legulasan shal banu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an amazing ability to follow our lead and to take from our words to create geula for the future generations. What does that mean? Ata amarta says in the Medrash, you said v'haya Hashem li le'lokim. In Bereishis Parachav Ches, right, the language of the Avos was what? Hashem v'haya Hashem li lelokim. If Hashem will be to me a God. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to follow your lead. I like that word. V'haya, that's a good word. V'haya Hashem li lelokim. I like that. That's a nice expression. Chayecha, by your life. Kol atovos v'nachamos shani noisein levanecha b'lashon hazeh. I'm going to use this expression to bring geula, to bring nechama, to bring goodness to the future generations. As it says in Zechariah, v'haya. Bayomahu Yetsu Mayim Chayim. Whereas it says in Yeshaya, Vahaya Bayomahu Yosef Shenis Yado, I'll extend my hand again to bring redemption. What's the secret of the word Vahaya? Hashem saw, Vahaya Hashem li lelokim. That Yaakov Avinu used such a lashon, and Hashem said, that's good, I like that, that's nice. I'm going to use that in the future. What's the secret of the word Vahaya? Chever explains the Sfas Emes in Parshas Vayetze, a very deep idea. Take a look. Kimilas Vahaya, the secret of the word Vahaya, Yesodohu Lashon Avar. The word Vahaya, the root of the word, the essence of the word is the word Haya. Right? What does Haya mean? Haya means past, Avar. What happens when it becomes Vahaya? What does that Vav do? Right? That Vav is transformative. V'raka yideha Vav nishapich milashon Avar lelashon Asin. Right? The Vav is mahapich, the word haya, to vihaya, something in the future. Haya, hove, right? And asid, haya is past, vihaya is future. So what is the secret of the word vahaya? And why is that a word of geula? And why does the Medrash tell us that vahaya is always a lashon simcha, something very joyous? Says the Sfas Emes, b'geula asida kol hanavuos shenemru alea nemru lashon vahaya. All of the Geulos of the future are expressed in a language of Vahaya. You know why? Ki halashon Vahaya moral ofen ha-geula. Because Vahaya means that the things of my past become clarified and mold my future. Ki oz yisbar eich shekol masha over aleinu ba-galus haya letova. That all the things of my troubled past become the source of my excitement in the future. Ve'eich shekol ha-galus haysa ka-achana la-geula ve'chelek me-ha-geula. That all the things I went through in the past, or actually planting the seeds, Mimena Yivashaya May Haman. From Haman himself comes the Gula. That's why in the drunken state of Purim, a person can even reach a level of saying what? Baruch Haman. How do you say Baruch Haman? What are you, Kaifer? How do you say Baruch Haman? The answer is because I have the maturity and the understanding to realize that even Haman, yes, Mimena Yivashaya, like Sfasem has told us, from Haman itself came the Gula. So I transform my Avar into my Asid. I understand that the thing that I thought was the biggest source of tzara is in fact the biggest source of bracha. And he ends the piece and he says, isn't that exactly what happened at the root of Geula? Isn't that what the brothers thought about Yosef HaTzadik? They thought Yosef HaTzadik was the biggest source of tzara for them. And it turned out that Yosef HaTzadik was the one who saved the world during a famine. Yosef HaTzadik was the one who paved the way for Klal Yisrael to find their way into Golis, but eventually from that Golis of Mitzrayim, to come to Har Sinai, to become the Jewish people. So everything that we thought was Golis turns out in the end to be a Geula. That's why the word Goyla and Geula, the only difference is the Aleph. Do I have the one above? Do I have Alufo Shel Olam in my life? If I have Hashem in my life, then I realize that all of the Tzara was in fact what? Was nothing other than goodness. And that's why the Medrash says that Hashem says, I'm going to what? I'm going to bring Tovos u'Nechamos. What is real Nechama? So Hashem says that Nechama is, Nechama Amitis Nikris, Shemara She'en Kan Tzara Klal. What does it mean to have real Nechama? When Rabbi Akiva at the end of Maseches Makos is laughing, you know the famous Gemara, everyone's crying over the Chorban, Rabbi Akiva is laughing. How can you laugh at a time like this? Rabbi Akiva says, because I have the eyes of the future. And I see that the thing that you look at right now, right, as the troubles of our past, I see as planting the seeds of the future. The fall of the second Beis Hamikdash paves the way for a third Beis Hamikdash. So everything that you thought was a source of tzara turns into this mishteh, which was such a chorban, becomes a source of such joy. Such a joy. And that's where laughter comes from. Laughter comes from that place. Let me just end with this footnote and then we'll hear from Dani. But Sfas Emes elsewhere writes an unbelievable thing. This is the shortest and craziest Sfas Emes that I've ever seen. Sfas Emes says, when Yosef says to the brothers, right, in recounting the sale, he says, Asher machartem osi, that you have sold me. So we know from elsewhere that the word Asher is sometimes interpreted as Yasher koichacha. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchos, like he did in this past week's parsha, and at the end of the Torah it says, the luchos Asher shibarta, what does Rashi say? Yasher koachsha shibarta. So Sfas Emes says, if Asher means Yasher Koach, that means Yosef at one point says to his brothers, Asher machartem osi, Yasher Koach that you sold me. Thank you so much for selling me. How does a person say such a thing? Yosef HaTzadik was sold into slavery, nearly murdered by his brothers, and when he meets up with them down the road, he says, oh, Shkoach, thank you so much for selling me. Thank you so much for putting me through those 20 years away from my father, and selling me into Mitzrayim and nearly being seduced and ruining my relationship with Hashem by sleeping with a married woman. Shkoyach, asher koyach, asher koyach shemachartem osi. Thank you for selling me. But Yosef, with his mature vision, with his understanding of things, Yosef HaTzadik understood that there's always something more. There's always something more. We got to peel off that superficial layer and understand what's tachas, what's underneath, what's lurking beneath the surface. That's why many Sfarim say, Kedushas Levi says that Chodesh Adar corresponds to Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef HaTzadik is the Shevet that what? That multiplied, that turned into two. That one Shevet became two, just like we have what calendar, right? If there's 12 months that correspond to the 12 Shvatim, there's only one Shevet that becomes two. Just like there's an other Rishon and an other Sheni, so Yosef becomes an Ephraim and Menashe. It means when it looks like things are shrinking and the world is collapsing, it's really just starting to sprout. And that's what we have to try to discover on Purim. We try to dig a little bit deeper. We try to see beneath the costume on Purim. To understand that everything that looks like trouble in our life is mamish, just a bracha in disguise. Vahaya, it's always a simcha, it's a tzchok. We laugh because it's so not obvious. But when we get there, right, we realize it was there all along and we just start cracking up. We start laughing. And that's the Oz Yomali Tzchok Pino of the Geula Shlema. So we should be zochet to see it soon. Dani, what do you want to say? Let me hear.
I realized that the gematria of Nachamu is 208.
That's Yitzchak. That's right.
Which is Yitzchak.
Very good. That's a good remez. The Sfarim talk a lot about that. That's right. The Yitzchak Avinu, again, the The very serious Yitzchak Avinu is the one who somehow has this ability to help us to laugh, to help us to have that nechama. That's right. That's right. Yeah, Yitzchak teaches us. Oh, I'm looking at my notes here, and I see that my good friend David Tzvi Engel told me 2 years ago that Tzchok is Gematria Or Ein Sof. Okay, so I guess I did know it once upon a time. You forget things, you gotta do Chazar, so I gotta take notes also. Okay. But we should be Zocha to bask in the infinite light of Hashem, and to laugh, to just laugh. To not be so tzibrachan all the time, you know? People get so down, they get so frustrated, and they get so angry at Hashem, and so disappointed that things didn't go the way they wanted. However, we don't live in the world of Achashverosh. We're not in Hodu and Kush. We're way above that. We're in a place of divine laughter, right? Of the irony of how when it looks like the world is more out of control than ever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just putting on a great performance. It's the end of the play. It's the end of the movie. It's the end. Hashem's wrapping up the final scenes. And when we get to that punchline, it's going to be such a source of joy because it's going to be so ironic. It's going to be such a vinahafachu that it's going to be so geschmack. It's going to be so good and so sweet. And we just have to maintain our emunah and to cling to the tzaddikim and trust the Mordechais of the world who are not messing us up. They're trying to give us guidance. And it's not about compromising our values to try to, you know, fit with the world. It never works. It never has and it never will. It didn't work in Mitzrayim. It didn't work in times of Purim. It didn't work in times of Nazi Germany. It doesn't work. We can't try to pander to values that are not our own as a way of trying to appease the world. It doesn't make them like us more. It makes them like us less. We have to stand up tall and proud and just keep laughing like Mordechai and Esther all the way to the Gula Shlema. All right, friends. Thanks for learning together. This was nice. I hope everyone has a great day. Shubi Matzliach. Shubi Zoche to get all your work done. And I'll see you at Ritz Hashem tomorrow.